Yes, that line forms on the right. Babe, I'm not letting them do it to me.
Not that Maggie.
I'm going to sing today. Back in town. That's all I got.
Look out, old Maggie.
Yeah, I'm back. Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 203 on the fan. McMonagle here with you. But he's got his best wide receiving core. But the offensive line is completely revamped. But he's actually got a team around him. And Dable's doing the play calling. Woo! Why'd I let it ruin my day? I don't know. I should have known. It was a beautiful morning, too. What a beautiful morning it was. Like, perfect weather. I walked out of my house, 9 o'clock in the morning. I was in my backyard, sipping on my coffee, checking on the pork shoulder that I was, you know, cooking all night long. Low and slow. As I got my pork shoulder ready for some pulled pork. As that was on the pellet grill all night long, the glorious smell of pork fat roasting in the morning, sipping my coffee out in the beautiful weather, not a cloud in the sky, 50-something degrees. It was glorious. And I was so excited for the football season to begin, as all of us are, right? As Jet fans will be for tonight, as Giants fans were yesterday. It's great. It's the greatest thing ever. We got two games already down. We got a great opening night on Thursday. Then the disaster that was the Brazil game, we'll get into Saquon Barkley if you'd like. And it was just, whoa, football season is back. It's a beautiful fall day. Everything's wonderful. And then I turned on the slop that was the New York Giants, and specifically Daniel Jones. And what an absolute disgrace. Back-to-back years of opening the season for this New York Giants team. What an absolute disgrace yesterday was. At least last year to the Cowboys, you could say, you know what? They've got Dak, right? They got Micah Parsons. Oh, they lost Andrew Thomas. There's, you know, some sort of excuse coming off a playoff appearance where you could somehow convince yourself that maybe the rest of the season won't be so bad. What do you have now in the year of Daniel Jones? That's what it was called, the year of Daniel Jones. Take six, of course, but that was what we heard the last couple of words, right, of that dopey show. Now it looks dopey. Now I go back to Hard Knocks and I think about how stupid everything was that was done for this team, putting it together. But the year of Daniel Jones, dun, 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 they fade away. Remember that? The year of Daniel Jones. What an atrocious performance, and I don't care. I don't want to hear he's coming off major surgery. It takes time. Look at what happened with Cousins in Atlanta. It takes time. You got to, you know, major injury. I don't care. He's throwing at everybody's feet. He was atrocious in this game. I mean, it's hard to fathom how bad he was. And we've known it for a long time. You know I've been on the anti-Daniel Jones. I've defended him on some level where the noise has gotten crazy that he's the worst quarterback in the league, or, you know, guys coming in and haven't taken a snap in the NFL or better and all the nonsense that goes on. Well, it doesn't feel like nonsense today because you can't play worse than that. This is the guy who they signed a contract to. This is a guy we're waiting to see. If this is the future of our franchise, I can't watch it anymore. My eyes are bleeding watching it. And that doesn't forgive the coach who took over the play calling and has gone reverted right back to what he was last year, scared Brian Dable. We heard all year long, all offseason long, they were going to take deep shots at Neighbors and Hyatt and Wandell Robinson. They were going to go down the field. And Daniel Jones wasn't going to play this safe, not-want-to-make-mistakes crap that's been beaten into his head. And sure, have the Giants done everything to ruin him? Absolutely. I heard Lori talking about it, rookie season with the touchdown passes, all the different coordinators, all the different head coaches. 100% true. The Giants did everything they could to ruin this kid. The man, the owner told you as much when they hired this group of Shane and Dable, that we did everything to ruin this kid, and he is ruined. And they're still throwing him out there. Sam Darnold walked into this building. Sam Darnold walked into this building, went 12 for 12, including a 99-yard drive and a fourth down touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. He absolutely embarrassed the Giants in the first half. He did nothing the rest of the game because he didn't have to, because the Giants' offense is completely inept. Completely inept, including this head coach who's down 14-3. We all know it. Everyone's going to kill him for it. He's asked about it in the postgame. And you know me. I don't get hung up on postgame answers. I would just like one. Like, you don't have to give me great answers, and I think they're overblown sometimes, the reaction and the defending of players and all this stuff, and I think we get hung up on postgame sound. Brian Daboll didn't have a postgame show. Brian Daboll had nothing to say about his offense and his team looking the way they did as the Minnesota Vikings came in and absolutely rolled all over them in every facet of the game. But he has an opportunity, 14-3 towards the end of the second half, 4 minutes left in the first half. And we see this same coach who his first year, maybe it's before he got to know Daniel Jones, I don't know. But something has left this man where this was an aggressive coach going for two. The first game of his career with the New York Giants against Tennessee, going for two to win that game. That was Brian Daboll. That's what this team became. That's what this team rallied around. And we're seeing a coach who is either A, afraid to call plays down the field, or B, doesn't have a quarterback who can see plays down the field. And I'm likely to lean towards B, that this quarterback is just unable to go down the field, whether it's his fear of getting hit, his inability to have any pocket presence, his inability to make decisions and make reads, whatever the case may be. Between the two of them, they can't attack. And Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, who is suing the Giants for not hiring him, is that a class action suit? I'll join. Because right now, he embarrassed them defensively. He just said, I'm going to sit back. I don't think you can attack the field. I don't think you could put forth an offense. I don't think you can string plays together. And he's 100% right. But the coach has an opportunity to just instill some confidence on a fourth down play after on third and short you do a quarterback offside run. That's a play that when you run that, you better follow it up with a fourth down. You don't run that play on third down and then punt. I mean, just unbelievable the level of fear, the inability to show any kind of confidence in this group. And don't tell, like, and it's just watching Daniel Jones play the quarterback position. It's just, we saw the same thing again. He is terrified to make a mistake. Terrified. And I firmly believe the one answer that the coach did say in the postgame when asked about attacking down the field, he did quickly before he went right into, I got to watch the film and watch the tape. He did say, well, the plays were called. I'm sure there were plays called. You have to, he is unwilling to go down the field because he's been beaten into his head that as long as he doesn't have turnovers, he's played a successful game. That's what 2 years ago, affected this team in so many ways, whether it's giving him the contract, whether it's having faith in him, whether it's not being able to get Daboll a young quarterback to actually try and develop, or whether it's also beating into this young quarterback's head that as long as I don't turn the football over, maybe I can win games. Because he is unwilling to take any chances down the field. And in the NFL, and this is what I've been saying for 2 years, in the NFL, you have to take chances if you want to win the game. And it's great. Oh, hey, he stopped turning the ball over. He stopped fumbling. Do you know he was the least turned over quarterback in all of the NFL that year? Do you know he threw the least interceptions of anyone in the league that year? Yeah, because he looks for his first read and then tucks and runs. And we've seen it over and over again. They don't score. Another game where they're unable to score a touchdown. They don't score touchdowns. And whether it's this GM who's shown faith in this quarterback, or whether it's the head coach who took over play calling and yet still doesn't attack, I mean, it's just embarrassing what's going on right now. This offense, unable to score points, plain and simple. And I've been told, oh, well, now we've got Neighbors, a legitimate number one, something Daniel Jones has never had. Oh, the wide receiving corps is so much better. Oh, they've added all these offensive linemen. They're going to be able to, you know, block it and give him time to get down the field. There is no such thing with Daniel Jones. There is no such thing. This is what we're getting year six. And I'm telling you right now, they got Washington next week. If they don't win that game, what game are they going to win? We are staring in the face of another Giants season dead before Halloween. Dead before Halloween. And the only saving grace of it all is we won't have to watch Daniel Jones because they'll be forced to move on from him because they're afraid to get hung on the hook for next year's contract. Because if he gets hurt, they're locked into him. But they don't have another option because this quarterback room, ironic, all they have is Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito. That's the quarterback room. They have no options. It is a disaster at the position. And I know I'm focusing on it. And I know the defensive backfield wasn't very good, right? And I know for the most part, although Dexter Lawrence may be early in the game and, you know, he's a very good player, played well throughout the game. They got very little pressure. They made dumb mistakes. They had a couple killer penalties. They had, a bunch of penalties offensively too, but they had killer penalties defensively. There's a lot of reasons. They allowed Sam Darnold to go down the field, like I said, 12 for 12, 99 yards. And then going, allowing you to be one-on-one from the four on fourth and to let Justin Jefferson beat Banks for a touchdown. I mean, there's a ton of reasons. But it is impossible to move on from this offense and the quarterback play. And this coach, and again, I don't get hung up in the post game, but if you watch it, it's embarrassing. He has nothing to say about this team. He's got to watch everything. Like, it was remarkable how he could answer every question with the exact same response. It was actually, I'm surprised he had it in him to be able to do that. It's a difficult thing to do. But you watch this game. I mean, he took over the play calling from Kefka, right? And we talked about it. I thought it was a positive. I thought it was a positive because there was a lot of turmoil internally with it. He was just going to take it over. He was a dynamic play caller for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Over and over, and every time you saw a film, anytime you saw any glimpse that SNY would give you or whoever would give you of glimpse of what was going on in camp, and you hear about how they're practicing with the Lions, and you see, oh, they're showing up tough, and they're going down the field, and Daniel Jones is throwing all these passes down the field, and then the game shows up, and it's the same crap. And people ask me, and I remember scoffing at the idea that this coach should be on the hot seat. How can you tell me an offensive head coach who just took over the play calling can give you performances like this? A coach who's supposed to develop quarterbacks, who you know the owner, for whatever reason, believes in this kid. They gave him $40 million a year to play quarterback for the New York Giants. Are you telling me a coach that coaches scared and punts at midfield when you clearly need a momentum changer in that game? A coach who's unable to call plays to get the ball down the field? A coach who took over the play calling and gave you this performance where they can't get in the end zone? Not against one of the world beaters, the Minnesota Vikings. Who, yes, they're coached well, and Flores is an excellent defensive coordinator, but their defensive backfield isn't very good, and they can't, with Neighbors and this new revamped offensive line, still nothing, can't get in the end zone. Daniel Jones throwing picks in the end zone. Daniel Jones, and really the only, you know, one time maybe you thought they had a chance to get back into this game after they force a punt and have an ability to go down the field and maybe get it within a score. And immediately he just throws it right to the defensive end who injured him last year for a pick six. And there goes the game. I mean, you're telling me a head coach, an offensive head coach, a quarterback developing head coach has done nothing, takes over the play calling. It looks worse than last year, developing a young quarterback who has been worse since the year that he finally actually played well and Dable was actually to get something out of him, a regressing quarterback, an offense that looks the same, an inability to throw the ball down the field, and an inability to score touchdown passes. And let's not forget the fact that now, if you combine it, they've been beat 68-6 in the last two home openers to start the year. That head coach is nothing to worry about. That head coach isn't on the hot seat? This was a debacle on every level. And for those of us who never had faith in Daniel Jones, and those of us who thought year six of the year of Daniel Jones was ridiculous, and for those of us who were very concerned about what this quarterback room was going to look like, yeah, maybe yesterday wasn't the biggest of surprises, and yes, maybe the coach is the one real surprise, because we all felt like we had a coach, right? Brian Daboll was excellent 2 years ago. He changed the entire aura of the franchise. He led them to the playoffs. He beat this very team and this very head coach, who had a lot to say in the postgame. We'll get to it in the next segment. Won a playoff game, won a road playoff game, and the Giants under Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were about to build this thing up and get back to winning football for the New York Giants. And instead, from that moment, they were inept last year at the beginning of the season. They seemed ill-prepared, and the quarterback has only gotten worse. This was the biggest indictment yet on this head coach, without question. Without question. You could talk about all the stuff with Wink Martindale. You can talk about all the inner turmoil, yelling at Mike Kafka, giving him play calling, taking play calling away, giving him play calling, taking play calling away. You could talk about the 40-0 debacle against the Cowboys. You could talk about the miserable season, the way they handled the Jet game. There's a million things you can point to over the last year and a half with Brian Daboll and say, you know what? I'm not so sure. Nothing worse than yesterday. Nothing worse than after the embarrassment of last year to start the year. And the focus on what the start of this year means. And everybody, with the Lions. The dual practice with the Lions. They recognized last year they got embarrassed. They got to start the year off strong. They came out tough against the Lions. They were nose to nose with the best team in the NFC. They came out and crapped all over themselves yesterday. And now I don't trust the coach. I don't trust the GM. And the quarterback room is arguably this side of the Cleveland Browns only because of the contract they gave to Deshaun Watson. This is the worst. And when you have a roster that isn't very talented, and you have a quarterback making $40 million who is terrible, where is your franchise? Like, right now, that's the question. Like, I understand we just started the year. I understand that, you know, it's a little early to just call the season dead. It's one game. They're playing a team next week in Washington that even under Daniel Jones, they have figured out a way to win most of the time. But when you don't have a lot of expectation for a season, when you don't think you're a playoff team necessarily, when you're hoping on the idea that this GM, as we saw in the Hard Knocks offseason edition, is trying to build this team from the ground up, you got a stud wide receiver, you got an offensive head coach. You revamped the offensive line. You're looking to take the ball down the field. You're looking to at least build something offensively. You know you have a weakness in the defensive backfield that you allowed that to get to the point where Adoree Jackson is your savior a week before the season starts. Like, when you're in this position with the New York Giants and you're banking on the idea that your GM is smart and your offensive head coach is a leader of men and a good offensive play caller and a good offensive coach, and you go out there and back-to-back seasons look like the most ill-prepared team in the NFL. You have a quarterback on a contract that's unpalatable, playing some of the worst the position has to offer in the entire league. Where are you as a franchise? Where are the New York Giants? I tweeted this out, and we can include this in the Yankee shill talk of the day if you'd like. But the word unserious has been thrown around a lot lately. I'm hearing it left and right. Unserious, unserious. You want to know what unserious looks like? The New York Giants are unserious. The New York Giants are in year three of Dable and Shane, and it's as bad as ever. We're in year six of Daniel Jones, and it's as bad as ever. They open up the season with some optimism, welcoming Sam Darnold into the building in the Minnesota Vikings, and it's as ugly as ever. And we are staring at another dead season, one of, I don't know, eight in the last 10, before Halloween, before Thanksgiving. And you're going to have Giant fans focused on their fantasy football leagues and focused on their prop bets and focused on anything other than New York Giants football, because they're going to render themselves useless within a few weeks, continuing to play a quarterback who can't function, continuing to have an offense that doesn't attack, and continuing to have a head coach who's playing it safe at every turn. Never mind a roster that isn't very good. Yesterday was a wake-up call for all the early optimism that you get in a lead-up to a season. Right, you could be down on the team. We all are. I'm down on the roster, down on this, down on that. I don't know how good they're going to be. But then as it gets closer, you start to, you know, feel that little bit of optimism. You know what? Neighbors is a really talented wide receiver. And when's the last time they had one? And you know what? Wandale Robinson can be pretty good. And if Heidi can get down the field, I mean, maybe they do have a wide receiving core for the first time in what feels like a decade. And you know what? They did add some interior linemen. You know, this line should be a lot better. Andrew Thomas is a legitimate left tackle. If they could figure out a way to block for him, we have seen some promise from Daniel Jones, right? I mean, maybe they added a Dory Jackson. I love the front seven. And, you know, Sexy Dexy is one of the better players. And they're playing Sam Darnold week one. You know what? Maybe there's a chance that optimism starts to breed in. And then by 1:15, it washes over you. Like, what the hell was I thinking? This franchise has given me nothing to believe in it, and yet I do every year. Why? 28-6. Sam Darnold, 12 for 12, 99-yard drive. Quarterback who can't throw the ball down the field, and a coach who won't take chances. What an embarrassment yesterday was. It's impossible to stomach.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
McMonagle with you on the Fan. Just a rough day. Rough day for Giant fans who probably had optimism going into the season. And look, I know. That is what we do. All right. If they win against Washington next week and then figure out a way to beat the lousy Browns, you know, it's not implausible with the way their quarterback situation looked. But on how good I feel about Daniel Jones going into Cleveland against that defense and the way they play at home, I know the Cowboys had their way with him. But just frustrating. And I just don't want to hear any excuses. Like, I'm tired of the Daniel Jones excuse-making machine. I'm just tired of it. Like, coming off major injury, I don't care. This is not new. It's just not new. I mean, how many throws were behind the I mean, he gets fooled on the interception in the end zone. I mean, how many throws are behind? Anytime someone's in his face, he can't, you know, just have that touch to get it around a defender in his face for a little screen pass that's thrown 10 feet in front of the running back. You have, again, another situation much like Seattle last year where you have a guy coming off the edge free, clear, obvious. It's obvious to any functional quarterback in the NFL that guy off the edge is coming unblocked. You either have to figure out a way to manipulate your offensive line so he is blocked, or you have to get the ball out immediately. That's how it works. And if you're going to give me the coach on that one, I'm sorry. This is year six in the NFL for Daniel Jones. I don't care what the coach called. He has to recognize it on the field right then and there. He's unable. He doesn't get the ball down the field. He can't recognize the most obvious of defensive hurdles he has to maneuver. Like, not anything. It's impossible to watch him. I'm done with I don't care about his tools. It's just impossible to watch. And the coach, same thing. I mean, right now, for a guy that we all had confidence in, and again, it's week one, but it's so frustrating to be, look, this unprepared. And to that point, like, you know, Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, came into the league the same year as Daniel Jones, same year as Brian Daboll, right? He had a great year. The Vikings won a ton of close games. They won a bunch of games. They're heading into the playoffs with a lot of confidence, and the Giants and Brian Daboll came in, beat him. Brian Daboll ends up winning Coach of the Year. And I firmly believe that this was a important game for this head coach. It should have been an important game for Brian Daboll, but these two coaches kind of have a history together as far as that. If you play it out like that, the one playoff game that, you know, one ascended, won that game, became the toast of the town, won Coach of the Year. The other had to battle back, got rid of his veteran quarterback, kind of sort of rebuilding here. The young quarterback goes down. He's playing Sam Darnold. He comes into Giant Stadium, and it meant something to him. Listen to him talk in the postgame about how his team played and how the Giants played.
Fellas, I'm just so proud of the fact that if you look out there on that field all day long, we looked more prepared. We looked better conditioned. All right, we looked better to execute one play every single snap and just keep rolling. Play after play. We also looked ready to overcome some adversity, self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. It's an early game in the season. There's going to be some stuff that we get to clean up. We get to do it after being 1-0.
Yeah. Listen to that. We were the better coach team. That's what he was saying. We went in there. We were more prepared. We were better conditioned. We were able to make play after play. And you know what? He's right. See if you could do an open here on the. He's prepared for a show right here on the Fan after that game. Like, that's exactly right. That's Brian Daboll today. Brian Daboll is. This is today. The other coach gets to crow about how much better his team was prepared. How much better his team was conditioned. How much better his team was in a position to execute. We all might love this head coach, and I'm not ready to give up on him, but the idea that he's free and clear because the Giants want stability, sorry. You can't have performances like this over and over again. You can't be an offensive head coach, come in here, and never score points. Even when they were winning, they didn't score points. Daniel Jones doesn't throw touchdowns. Ever. And for back-to-back seasons, this is how they open up at home in front of their fans, where they're getting the team is getting booed off the field at halftime. And we'll get to Dexter Lawrence and his comments. The team is getting booed off the field at halftime. It sounds like a Vikings home game in the fourth quarter. Back-to-back years, embarrassed to start the year. This was a major indictment against this head coach. A major indictment. I don't even care. I don't even care about the post game that so many of you will. I don't even care. Who cares what he said after it? I mean, like, he didn't have to say anything. I watched. This team was unprepared for this game. Flores and this Vikings defense said, we're not going to blitz you. We're not going to rush you. We're going to make sure that, you know, we got Malik Nabers covered. And let's see if you can dink and dunk all your way down the field. And they can't. They can't. Why? Because Daniel Jones is inaccurate. Because Daniel Jones gets one hand in his face, the ball's at someone's feet. Because if there's any pressure whatsoever, he tucks and runs. because he's incapable of leading an offense. And the fact that he's the guy doing it for the New York Giants, making $40 million a year, not only is this game suck, not only is this season suck, what's the future of this franchise? Why did I want them to tank last year? Why did I want them to draft a quarterback in the draft? Why? Because I can't watch this anymore. And they need direction. And I don't know what the direction is as long as he's the quarterback. And I know I'm harping on him, and there's a lot of elements of this game and why they lost. But in the NFL, you either have a quarterback or you don't. Plain and simple. You either have a quarterback or you don't. And the Giants do not. And until they do, they're an unserious franchise. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
You know, Chris, I kind of fell asleep a few hours ago, so I missed all this fun on the after the game against last night.
A lot of fun.
Listen, I gotta just—if you let me vent it out, I'm not gonna scream. I want to share some positive things that happened to me. I had an amazing Saturday and an awful Sunday, for obvious reasons. And they both go to the Giants. And I'm gonna tell you why. I want to share this because it's my joy and then my horror. I went to the. I participated in the second part of Fan Fest. I ran the 5K. They had a 5K event on Saturday. And, you know, as a runner, you know, I'm a runner, and I won my age group, which is fabulous. And I had an amazing time. I met Sean O'Hara and other Giants that were there. The Giants, you get to finish on the finish. You get to finish in the stadium, okay? You get to run on the field, and you run around the whole perimeter of MetLife. And my award was probably the greatest, one of the greatest awards I've ever gotten. And I've run 10 Boston Marathons. They gave out a Hall of Fame New York Giant football to every award winner. I mean, it's one of my prized awards I've ever gotten. I mean, I'm sitting there getting pictures taken on the field and feeling, wow. I feel like, you know, looking up at MetLife, I'm seeing what it must be like as a professional athlete in that arena. And then I get the tour the Hall of Fame they got there and the locker rooms and just the Giants organization is class.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that. But that now we're going to – so I have an amazing event. A prize I'll cherish, you know, for the rest of my life. Then I get to meet Peter Schwartz, another great guy. I went – because I live in Great Neck, and Kings Point is down the road. His boy got to play the Merchant Marine. That's like the Navy, the Naval Academy in my neighborhood, okay? Mm-hmm. Just a great facility. I visited many times. It's in my town. His kid was there. I saw his start of his college career. So it was nice meeting Peter. And then I got to watch, wake up Sunday, and I get excited because I got my football, and it's like, wow, the Giants, I feel part of the team. I'm rooting for this team since 1968. And then I get – but I had no expectations. I tweeted to Tino. I go, Paul, I got no feel for this. I haven't seen anything knowing what this team is. And I know what they are now. And I heard your point. We are a team that has no quarterback, and he's got a neck problem forever. He's got basically an ACL, which is in repair, which is damaged goods. He's never going to be the same. He's slow off the ball. He's not the same guy he was. And second of all, you have no running game, zero running game, which, talking about Barkley, goes out and has three great scores on a real team, okay? Now he's going to now flourish in his career. You have a guy, Neighbors, by the way, who's wide open on that second pick. I couldn't believe it. He throws it to triple coverage. Yeah. The game is over. They were not coming back. Neighbors, who basically, he's the only, him and the kicker, you know, were the only bright spots. I mean, a kicker with two field goals, and Neighbors, he looks like he's got potential in this league. He made a couple nice catches, but they didn't really throw to him. This quarterback and this coach, Daniel Jones is done. He's done. We know that. And we're going to have to suffer, and it's going to be a horrible year, Chris.
Yeah.
But the coach, this is where I want to go because you brought it up.
Yeah.
This coach has shown me nothing because he basically, he's calling the plays. He doesn't have any insight on doing a play action on fourth, and he hands the ball off. Even in a preseason game, he doesn't even try anything. Just because he's the head coach, listen, it's game one. But where are we going? Where is this team headed without a quarterback, with no running game, with maybe really, and a defense, which I don't know, I'm going to give them a kind of a pass because one of the touchdowns wasn't against them. But you still, and Donald would manage the game. Everybody said, oh, Donald, you can't beat that. If you can't beat a Donald, by the way, just who happened to play, I thought, a very solid, manageable, he did everything he had to do against a Giant defense, which was not great, but I'm not going to blame it on them. Chris, the coach, in my opinion, he should be on the hot seat if he doesn't figure this out.
Yeah,
that's my feel. Listen, I know I was long-winded here, and it's not that. And you got you're going to have 4 hours to listen to Giant fans, but I'm speaking from someone, and we've talked about this, and I wanted to finish with this. Everything you said, I just want to really put home. Jones is done. He's with a neck injury and with an ACL. He also looked like a deer in headlights. And if you notice, I saw a little bit of a limp. And being a foot doctor, I have an orthopedic background. He's slow. He's not going to have that same mobility, that same running game. He's going to be one step slower. This guy, I don't know what we're going to do.
He's not
going to last the season, Chris.
No, Robbie, I don't think he is, and thank you very much for the call. Even if he's healthy, he's not going to last the season. Because they can't take the chance of him getting hurt. They can't take it. You cannot be locked into his money for next year. You cannot allow it. There is one thing that cannot happen. The Giants have got to be able. I know it's going to be a pill to swallow, but it can't be the prohibitive number that it would be if he gets hurt. The Giants, at the very least, have got to be free of this by next year. They have to be free of it. He cannot be allowed to get hurt and be on this roster next year. They have to be done with Daniel Jones. And again, I want to make this clear because I don't want to pile on the guy. It's just he's not very good, and the Giants didn't help him. I want to make that clear, too. The Giants take a lot of blame for this. John Mara, the Giants organization, and they willingly, and to John Mara's credit, he admits. Like they completely did a disservice to this kid. Totally agree. But that doesn't change what we're staring at. Like he just can't play anymore. And he's injury prone. Like it's just not worth it. And that's where we're going to get, like, you know, the Giants have to win. Now the coach feels like he's coaching for his job and you need wins in the NFL. So they're going to try and win. So they're going to do what they think is best for at least a time. And this is the year of Daniel Jones. Like, they can't just abandon it now. Like, he's going to play. For those of you screaming, I know Lugie screaming for Tommy DeVito, and he seems less crazy today than he did yesterday. But still, I don't believe in DeVito. I don't believe in Locke. Like, I don't believe in Daniel Jones. But they're going to play Daniel Jones. They have to for at least a while to see what they can get from him because this is the year of Daniel Jones. They're making decisions based on this. Like, you have to let him play for a little bit, and he's played well against Washington in his career. And the next two games at Washington, at Cleveland, seem, you know, just because of the quarterback play with Cleveland, I think Cleveland roster overall is far superior to than the Giants, but Watson is so bad right now. He's just, you watch him, he's coming off the shoulder injury. He looks awful. So their quarterback situation is a disaster. You know, Washington, Jaden Daniels is just getting his feet wet, but I expect him to be better. But, I mean, if they can win the next two games heading into that Cowboy game, I mean, that's where, the schedule gets tough here. They got to win these next two games because you got the Cowboys, the Seahawks, who didn't look great today beating Denver. They ended up covering for me, but they looked lousy in the first half. Geno Smith in the offense, the passing attack looked awful. The offensive line looked real shaky. Denver was getting after it. But then you got the Bengals, who I think, are going to be far better and now pissed off that they lost to the Patriots. So, I mean, look at just that schedule after week three, right? You got the Cowboys on a Thursday night. You got Seattle in Seattle. Then you got the Bengals, the Eagles, the Steelers, whose defense is tremendous, and you got to go to Cleveland. You got to go to Pittsburgh before you take on the Commanders in Carolina. I mean, that's how, like, you are looking at Cowboys 1, Seattle 2, Bengals 3, Philadelphia 4, Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh 5, where you are playing very tough games to win. And with the way they looked yesterday, who are they going to beat? Like, this Giants, it's just, but he's going to get benched. He has to. They have no choice. You cannot let him get hurt. And he gets hurt every year. Now, it'd have to be a season-ending injury, but he'd have to end the season on the IL, but you just can't take that chance, man. You just cannot. So, I mean, we are talking about this. I mean, that's what's so frustrating about the season. We knew it going in. Like, when they said it's the year of Daniel Jones, they weren't kidding. Like, it's Daniel Jones, and he has to be successful, and he has to be successful right away. And we just saw what happened yesterday, and the backups are Locke and DeVito. And, yeah, their best offensive weapon of last year is gone. The offensive line, I think, will be better than it was yesterday, but I got to see it before I believe it. It's been, what, a decade since the offensive line's been any good. Wide receivers, okay, I believe in on some level. I don't think they had a great game necessarily, but, I mean, I think the talent is there, but you need the quarterback to actually get them the football. And the defensive backfield's atrocious. Like, it's just, it was a smack in the face. It was a smack of reality right in the face yesterday. Because the optimism, you know, hope springs eternal, the optimism heading into the season, you know, maybe Daniel Jones can finally figure it out. He's looked better at camp the last couple weeks. You know, the chip on his shoulder of the Giants clearly looking for another quarterback. You know, the offensive line's better, the wide receivers, the defense actually has a, you know, good front, maybe a pass rush with Burns and Thibodeau, which, by the way, did you, other than Thibodeau's face mask penalty, like, did you hear them? I didn't even hear their names. Not when Sam Darnold was going down the field picking apart the Giants 12 for 12 on a 99-yard touchdown drive. Like, just, it doesn't get, like, that was just as miserable and disgusting a start of the year. And that's with last year being 40 to nothing against the Cowboys. Like, this almost felt worse. At least the Cowboys, you know, have a very good defense with Michael Parsons, you know, coming at you. And, you know, Dak Prescott, who clearly has his flaws come postseason time, but has been a relatively prolific, you know, scorer and touchdown thrower and you know, has his flaws, no doubt. But him and CeeDee Lamb and that offense, you could understand getting beat by them on some level. The Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold are going to come into the building and embarrass you the same? Allow 6 points? 6 points? Just brutal. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
That was despicable. Why can't they just cut bait now? Why can't they just cut bait?
Because this was the year of Daniel Jones. They can't cut bait.
The year of Daniel Jones. In the past, what have we seen?
What have we seen?
One good season, you 15 can't, touchdowns.
Yeah, they're not going to cut bait one game in. They just can't. Like, you went into a season with a quarterback you're willing to cut bait on one week in? Like, you just can't.
Willing to go into the season with him to begin with. And you weren't either.
I know, we're not running the team. They did. They can't admit failure after 1 week, even though we're staring in the face. Like, they have to give him time. He is, like, as much as I'm down on him, clearly, he is coming off a major injury. And that's not making an excuse. I'm just telling you the things they'll say that, like, it's the year of Daniel Jones. They can't cut bait 1 week in. Like, you just can't do it.
How many weeks would you give him?
4 or 5?
Maybe.
But, I mean, that's about it. If they lose the next two games and they're 0-3, I think you could probably pull them going into the Dallas game Thursday night. I think that's plausible. But, like, that's they got to give him, like, he's always played well against Washington. They got to give him next week for sure. And then, you know, if he wins that game or plays better in that game, you give him Cleveland. But if they go 0-3 and they get beat by Washington, they get beat by Cleveland, and Dallas comes in for that Thursday night game, I definitely think you could see Locke playing that Thursday night game against the Cowboys.
And what is Drew Locke proven in his NFL career?
That he's not very good.
Okay. and Tyrod Taylor was way better.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor was better.
Oh, so what
again,
the,
you want to get hung up on who the backup quarterback? I mean, yeah, Tyrod Taylor.
No, I don't want to get hung up on the backup quarterback.
They
should have just. Oh, they should have gotten another quarterback.
I know. I mean, listen, but Stu, we can't focus on what they should have done. What are they going to do now? Like, what would you do now? You bench him today? You throw Drew Lock? You just said Drew Lock. What is Drew Lock proven? You know, you're going to throw Tommy DeVito out there next week? Like, what do? You try and play better, coach him up better, and figure out a way to get the ball down the field. Like, this coach, this is his career on the line right now. Like, he has done nothing. I know he won Coach of the Year, and I know he won a playoff game. Maybe that gets him another job. I don't know. Maybe it does. I'm sure he's well-respected. He'll probably get another offensive coordinator job for sure, and then maybe he can parlay that into another head coaching job. Or maybe someone would give him another head coaching job straight away. I don't know. But it feels like, at the very least, his Giant career, but maybe his head coaching career is on the line here. Like, he's an offensive head coach. And all we talked about all offseason is how they've improved offensively. How the offensive line is far better. The wide receiving core is far better. You can't come out and give this performance. And maybe he'll be able to say, hey, look, Daniel Jones is throwing the ball at everybody's feet. Maybe. He's got me on that a little bit, but I mean, just the punting when he punted, like it's punting on the game. I mean, he punted twice. He punted on fourth and two, or whatever it was, and he punted on the game. You've got to take a chance there. The offense has done nothing. You can't give the ball right back to the Vikings. Like, and then the play calling, as me and Fliegel were talking about, he pointed out, he's 100% right. I was thinking the same thing. Like, if you're going to go for it, I mean, if you're going to punt, excuse me, if you know you're not going to go for it on fourth down, you have to try and get the first. You have to throw beyond the sticks on third down. You don't call a quarterback end around or whatever. Like you can't give the ball to Daniel Jones and say, "Go get me 4 yards." Like, what are we doing? If you run there and get stopped, that means you knew you were going for it on fourth down. That's a fourth down. That's a four down play. If you throw it 15 yards and it's incomplete, okay, you took your chance and now you're punting. I would have disagreed with it, but the play call makes it worse because that's a setup for fourth down if I don't get it play call. I mean, so many head puzzles, so many head scratching things. The penalties. That face masking penalty was a disaster on the 99 yard touchdown drive. Like Kayvon Thibodeau gets that. It's about to be third and 13 or third and 14. It's about to be a long third down play to try and get off the field, and he gives them a first down. I'm sorry, it was third down. Excuse me. That's right. It was about to be fourth down that you're about to get off the field. You're about to get off the field, and you have a terrible hands to the face penalty. Like, just at every turn. As Coach O'Connell said, the Vikings were better prepared, better conditioned, and in a better position to execute on every single play. The Giants got completely outclassed by the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. There's nothing else to say. That's what happened. 888-808-1019. We'll get into some other things, too, and Dexter Lawrence and some of his comments after the game about the fans, and it makes me wonder, and I know this idea has been talked about before, and, you know, I know I get it. I'm not trying to tie everything to the Yankees, but there is sort of like this thing about just the mentality of today's athletes. And maybe we don't have an understanding of it exactly. We'll get into what Dexter Lawrence had to say after the game and my thoughts on it. Plus, some fans outside the stadium getting on Daniel Jones, we got to get to. So a couple fan-related things coming up here. And then, of course, the Jets. We'll get to that. Of course, if you want to talk a little baseball, unfortunately, the Mets' winning streak comes to an end. They are tied once again with the Atlanta Braves in the third wild card, and the Yankees find a way to lose the third game to the Chicago Cubs without giving up an earned run all series long, as they are still a half a game out in front of Baltimore. So we could talk a little baseball, we'll talk a little bit of Jets, and we'll still continue to pound the Giants for the next 2 hours.